Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
To Fan Manners with Dandy. Grab your fan and repeat after me. Closed, pointing towards your heart, means you have my love. Drawn across your breast means you have my love. Closed, pointed towards your nose means you're not to be trusted. Yawning behind it means go away, you bore me.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, February 5th. This is the Drop Podcast, hashtag Full Squad. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me here, we got Mr. What You Need to Know, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. We got the Bassmaster, ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Ew.
Hey.
We got the International Man of Mystery. Taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Bren.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen here on a Friday, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Getting in closer and closer and closer to our mini goal of 30,000 subscribers. Let's do it. Keep liking and keep commenting. Keep sharing. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. The Classic Factory thanks you so, so much. Dropped a brand new NBA whoopsies, the bloops and the hoops. Yesterday, that's up on our YouTube channel. Tass, of course, had What You Need to Know for this morning. He's got it all week, Monday through Friday. Go check that out. And last night, the classic of all classics. We missed you, Tass. Man, we could have used you because we had a lot of time to fill. We did, I'm not kidding here, for you listeners of just the podcast, a 4-hour and 20-minute NBA happy hour watch party. And we had a special guest. The reason we went so long, we're not going to make this a regular thing, okay? You know, we're not doing that. It was a special occasion last night because our former producer of the Starters, Matty O himself, yes, at Starters Matt on Twitter, joined us for, I guess, basically the whole thing, right? I mean, we brought him on 10 minutes in. He was there for 4 hours and 10 minutes at least. So that is up on our YouTube channel as well. Lee was about to sign off about in hour three and stuck around for another hour and a half in the dark.
Lee gave us a master class in how to not go to sleep.
Yes, yes. Trey started making eggs at the end of it. That's a thing that happened. We did a lot of karaoke sing-alongs. We shared a million stories. You know, JD, you're looking pretty good, I gotta say, JD, for a very late night and then an early morning with Tass there for What You Need to Know. How you feeling?
I feel fine. I'm tired, but, you know, I have one talent, and that is stamina. That's it.
That's the only thing I'm good at. You are. You've got it. Anyway, go check it out. I mean, it sounds daunting. It sounds insane. Like, why would I ever watch you guys talk for 4 hours and 20 minutes? A lot of laughs. A lot of larfs were had in this one.
Somebody barfed while laughing?
No. Just Matt kept calling laughs larfs.
Couldn't resist.
Yeah, but we missed you, Tass. I get it. I thought I was like, I don't know. When we hit past midnight, I was like, at one point, Tass is going to get up. Tass is probably sleeping, but Tass likes to get up in the middle of the night and just sort of walk the grounds, make sure everything's in order in his house. I was like, ah, oh, he's going to jump on. He's going to jump
walk
on.
Walk the grounds. Yeah, Steve says, hey, JD, send Tass an email as if you got your email client open on it 12 at midnight. Ah, great times. Great
if
time.
Anybody yeah, is right. checking their phone, I'm telling you, it's Tass at like 12:15, just randomly. I'm not wrong. I don't. But anyway.
I tuned in. It was great.
Oh,
it was
good.
Really great to hear about Top Shot. Still don't understand it. it was great to see Matty O's face. And I had some larfs while I watched you guys for a few minutes.
Excellent. Yes, it was a blast. So go check that out. It's up on our YouTube channel, of course. And thanks to Matty O for swinging by. That was a lot of fun. We'll have to do that again. And we're going to do some more NBA Top Shot podcast, like down the line. Like, well, you know, that was just spur of the moment. Trey was opening a pack because he had one, and we were like, who'd you get? Who was the big pull last night? It was
the big pull, Spencer Bitcoin Dinwiddie, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. If you're getting a blockchain adjacent player in a blockchain game, I think it must mean something.
True. But
confusing. So yeah. It looked good. It really looked good while you were opening, though. The visuals looked
good. Yeah, it's
fun. So I was kind of into it. And then I saw Jordan Clarkson dunk from a couple of years ago. What?
Yeah.
I mean, you're trading a Jordan Clarkson dunk. Can't wait to find out more about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jordan Clarkson, the sixth man of the year, the leading candidate. Obviously the choice. The man will probably be the first unanimous sixth man of the year in NBA history. I don't know. I'm a completely unbiased observer here, but I would say that Jordan Clarkson has been the man for the Jazz.
Absolutely. But his dunk from 2019, is that valuable? I don't know.
Does it
go up because he won an award 2 years later?
Well, that's what Trey's trying to do. He's trying to drive that price up. Yeah, talking up Clarkson here. Yeah, but we might like reach out to people at NBA Top Shot and like actually really try and figure out what's going on and do maybe a better job than we did of explaining it last night. I don't know. I got to go back and watch the NBA Happy Hour. Anyway, keep your questions and your comments coming for next week's Beach Steppin' Podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. And immaculate items, always available at nodunks.com. Go grab yourself a hoodie or a t-shirt, whatever you want. You can get that at nodunks.com. Okay, fun drop podcast here. Before we get into the All-Star first returns, we are paying off a pick and payoff here. Tass lost last month, so he has to pay it off. That's what we do here. And we got a weird one here. We've been talking a lot about Big Beef with the rebounds, and then people were saying, well, what about 20 assists? What's that? Is that applesauce? We're like, sure, why not? So your payoff, Tass, is to, today, combine the two. Put some roast beef and some applesauce together and chow down while we do the drop podcast. Do you have the, are you like Lee Ellis? Do you have, like, just things right by you that you can just grab and put them in the screen?
Well, I have some items.
Okay.
I've got my applesauce here. It's in a squeeze. It's in a little squeeze pack because it's meant for a child.
Yep.
That's ready to go.
Okay.
Now, my Arby's roast beef, it's on the way. It should be here momentarily. Within a few minutes. You see, if you're on YouTube, you're seeing a photo from my wife, Danielle, who was first in line at Arby's this morning at 10 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Now, I had to make a decision.
First.
They open at 10 a.m. We start our show here 10 a.m. Eastern. I was going to get one from last night, but I couldn't do that. Couldn't do that to my intestine. So I made a change, made the move to get one fresh.
Wow.
It opens at 10 a.m. and people are just piling on the beef at 10 a.m. I know Arby's is a solid sandwich, but you know, I got excited for it yesterday, actually. I watched a quick video from Justin Sutherland, who's a fast foodies guy. He's won Top Chef before, and he does a double order at Arby's. He gets a roast beef sandwich and then gets a market fresh sandwich, which I like to get too. I like the market fresh sandwich. You know, it's one of those deli sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Although you call it market fresh, it's kind of weird. What's the rest of your menu? Not fresh? Anyway, I'm looking forward to the beef being delivered here momentarily from Danielle. And I'll throw the applesauce on it. Yeah, I couldn't do a 12-hour beef.
No, that's fine.
I just couldn't.
Smart move.
So this is incredible. Danielle, you know, within the next 10, 15 minutes, hopefully, is going to arrive, hand you an Arby's roast beef sandwich live on the show here, and then you're going to throw the applesauce on it.
Yes.
And chow down. Okay.
Wow. I'm with Jubes Mason Jr. in the stream team who says, I think I believe in true love again.
It's very nice of Danielle, yeah.
So, a delivery beef. That's incredible stuff.
Although, you know, Trey has been supporting these big beef performances. So she's already texted me and she said, I'm sorry ahead of time. I got you a half pound roast beef sandwich.
Oh.
Because it's been talked about so much. There's regular double meat or half pound, and since Trey has been talking about the meats, she went for it. And I haven't eaten a thing today. I've starved myself for this moment.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're going double, and here it is.
Oh my god. Oh, wow. What timing?
This is good.
Oh my goodness.
Arby's is never going to sponsor the show because they get all this free press.
Yeah, I know. This is ridiculous, you know? Oh, but anyway, let's do it.
Curly fries. Thank you, Danielle.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Morning fries.
Okay, so applesauce is going on this thing.
Yeah, you guys start talking. I'll get this thing dressed.
Okay, yeah.
Box of beef, pouch of sauce.
All right, applesauce on a roast beef sandwich. I mean, I almost would just say eating Arby's at 10 a.m. is a pick and payoff.
Absolutely.
Right there. But we're throwing the applesauce on it.
They don't do breakfast. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, let's get into the all-star first returns while Tass makes his sandwich here. We have the first round of fan voting for this year's NBA All-Star Game. We're going to start out West, where LeBron James is on top for all the front court players, while also leading the conference there in votes. Other forwards, currently, the Joker, Jokic in second, Kawhi in third. Steph Curry returns to the top spot for the guards after being sidelined, of course, last season with the broken hand. He sits pretty comfortably ahead there of Luka Doncic, who is pretty comfortably ahead of Damian Lillard in third. So it would be LeBron, the Joker, Kawhi, Curry, and Luka. And we are showing the top 10 for the front court and the guards from the West first returns for anybody on the stream team right now. So a few questions from this, and then we'll get to the East. Biggest surprise, Trey, from what we just saw there. Where do you want to go?
Well, for me, the starters are perfect in the Western Conference as is right now. I have the same as my starters. It looks like they're probably going to be locks just based on where the votes are and the totals for the people who are sitting just outside of the two or the three. There might be a little bit of a challenge there between Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard. I think AD's 100,000 votes behind. Maybe he can make that up. But for the most part, these starters are perfect. The biggest surprise to me, though, is in the guard voting. In particular, Ja Morant at number four. For me, any two of Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard, and Donovan Mitchell, any two of those four would be the starters in the All-Star game, and I could be happy with that because I think that all four of those guys have put together All-Star seasons so far. But when you look at Ja compared to Donovan Mitchell particularly, that's the surprising thing to me. The Jazz are coming off a huge win streak. They've been one of the best teams in the league this year. Donovan Mitchell obviously has previously been an All-Star. He's won a dunk contest. He's probably the most mainstream Jazz man out there, whereas Memphis, they're 9-8. They're in a tiny market. Ja's only played 9 games, but I think this bodes very well for Ja's chance to start an All-Star game at some time in his career. If he's able to be number 4 right now, playing for a small market team in a season where he hasn't had a whole bunch of time on the court, hasn't had a chance to pile up those highlights like we see, pretty cool stuff. So I was a little surprised to see Ja ahead of Donovan Mitchell. I would obviously have Mitchell higher, but a pleasant surprise, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Lee, is there anything that surprised you from these, first returns, just the fans here for the West?
Yeah, well, not to go into the starters there, but Christian Wood from the Houston Rockets is number 8, and Rudy Gobert is not in the top 10. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Rudy Gobert was an all-star last season. The Jazz have had an incredible start to the season to this point. And Christian Wood has been very good down there in Houston, but the Rockets have been a bit of an afterthought. They had the James Harden sort of controversy to start the season. And now, since he's been traded, they've actually been playing pretty well, but they just feel like they're off the radar. And it's very sort of unusual to see a guy like Christian Wood have that sort of an impact with the fans already. Even though he's been, you know, hitting threes and blocking shots and doing lots of things, I'm just really surprised to see him, especially he's number 8 ahead of Brandon Ingram, who was also an all-star last season. He's been very good for the Pelicans. And I sort of expect Ingram, I don't know if I get Ingram and Zion in the all-star game, probably not just because of their record, but I thought he's been great. So it's a very unusual thing to think for me to see Christian Wood at number 8 in the West front court.
Yeah, no, it's very high. Tass, got to go to you. Got to know, the update on the sandwich here and what you also think of these the first returns here in the West.
Well, I do get up early along with
Tass,
JD.
I can't hear Tass.
Oh, that's my fault.
He's got too much
beef.
That's
my fault. I muted myself so you guys didn't have to hear all my scrunching. Dang it. So I've unmuted myself. Okay. I get up pretty early with JD in the morning to produce what you need to know. So I'm hungry because I've starved myself since 5 a.m. Yeah. So this half beef, Half pound of beef, I should say.
That's a pound of
thick sandwich.
Wow. Yeah. It's quite thick. It's going down. And the applesauce is quite the nice sauce on it.
A little sweetness? You don't mind it?
Yeah, I don't mind it. Yeah, that's a little Skeets move. The guy loves a little sweetness on his salty.
We're doing
all right. This is going to be my only meal of the day, I'm pretty sure. It started off pretty well.
That's a lot of roast beef.
Wiggins and Wood at the 7 and 8 spot, surprising for me. Both those guys. Andrew Wiggins at the 7th highest. I know you get that Warriors bump, but that's a little surprising. And to see Christian Wood, a guy, released twice in the last couple years, and all of a sudden a starter on the Rockets. It's sort of like the John Morant thing that Trey was talking about. At number 4 for John Morant, it's great to see a small market guy be up that high. And I think when we get to the East, Bradley Beal is sort of similar. Guys that you wouldn't think are going to be up there in votes, Christian Wood is the same, are doing well because they're having good seasons. Even though John Morant hasn't played a lot, Christian Wood is 22-10. I think that kind of flies under the radar. His numbers are incredible, and hopefully he'll be all right from that ankle injury he sustained last night while you guys were watching hardcore basketball. So, that combo, there's just a lot of guys that are up there that you wouldn't expect, and I wouldn't expect so many votes as well. Just overall, seeing this from Shams Charania said, the NBA All-Star fan voting so far is up 70% compared to last year. I just wouldn't... That's a lot
why,
of votes.
Why? What else are we doing?
Yeah, right, right. But all the talk last year about not having great ratings and just to see like 70%, what, the huge. NBA is more popular than ever before? That's weird, but yeah, maybe fans are just getting used to voting.
Yeah,
because it has been a little bit complicated the last couple of years, so now they're into this new format. I don't know.
Do you think, were you shocked, Trey, that Zion is at 6th in the West? Like, is that like low? I actually thought he might be higher. I'm a little surprised.
Is it high or low? I don't know. It's really tough for me to say, because when you look at the players that are ahead of him, it's 4 guys from LA and Nikola Jokic, who is an MVP candidate. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's compare totals here. He's got 411,000 votes. Next rookie, sort of, or not rookie, but guy who's really in the mix as well, Ja Morant, 257,000 votes. So, yeah, I mean, he's got more votes than Jimmy Butler. He's got more votes than Trae Young. I think it's just a case of he's behind a lot of some big market guys and big name players in the Western Conference. But I'm not surprised to see him ahead of Brandon Ingram. I think it's only a matter of time before Zion's starting an All-Star game.
That's probably true. All right, so wildest omission in the Western Conference. Lee, you sort of already gave your answer. It's Rudy Gobert to you? Like, it's like he's not even in the top 10? Is that most shocking? Or do you want to make a case for your boy, Mike Conley? Because people are up in arms about Mike Conley not being in the All-Star discussion.
It would be pretty ironic if Mike Conley couldn't make it as a grit and grind Grizzly, and this is sort of second phase of his career, he's able to make it with the Utah Jazz. I mean, they deserve 2 All-Stars based on their record and the way they've been playing. I think Mitchell's the absolute lock, and who is that second one? I mean, I think it has to be Rudy Gobert. Conley will be in the conversation, but he'll just miss out again in that Western backcourt. He's not going to overtake some of those guys that we've seen. You know, like someone like Lillard, who won't start. He will be voted in by the coaches, of course. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, then Mitchell's up against someone like a Devin Booker. You know, I think based on the record, he's and Booker's been a little bit in and out of the lineup, and the Suns started off hot but cooled off a little bit, so he's probably ahead of him. But I think the Jazz, you know, Rudy Gobert, he's the sort of guy who feels disrespected. He's talked about that a lot, you know, being snubbed for awards, being snubbed for the All-Star game twice before he finally made it last season. So I think if he doesn't get in and he looks at these voting returns early, he's like, people just don't respect what he brings to the team and brings to the game. So I think he probably does get the coach's vote anyway. So I think he'll be fine. He's never going to be a starter because he's just not that popular. But I think the coaches respect his game and what he brings to the Jazz.
Trey, is there a crazy omission in the Western Conference to you that you're like, whoa, I can't believe that guy's not there?
I don't know if about a crazy omission, Skeets, but I did love to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander making the top 10 9. I mean, obviously we've got our bet for if he's going to be an All-Star. This, I think, bodes well for him at least being an All-Star next year. And as you know, I've invested in the Shai Top Shot, so I'm loving seeing him on there. The prices are going up. But, I mean, he's still under 100,000 votes, which isn't very much, but it's always nice to see your guys showing up in the top tens. Who's somebody that missed out that you would expect? I guess it's got to be Conley and Gobert, just because the Jazz have been so good.
Yeah, maybe De'Aaron Fox, too, just with what he's done recently, just not to be in there. Tass, is there anyone we're missing? You're really taken down. You seem to be really enjoying that nice Arby sandwich. Yeah.
Thanks for noticing. I'm pretty happy that I made the decision not to get an old Arby sandwich from last night.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this.
That is a lot of meat.
It is.
They
it
got
is.
The meats, I heard, but man.
And yeah, for sure. Some is even falling off as I eat it, that's for sure. It's going to be a messy cleanup a little bit later. I think you guys got them all. Got them all.
Okay, well, let's go to the Eastern Conference, JD. Throw it up, my man. Kevin Durant, he actually leads all vote-getters in the league. Yeah, more votes than LeBron, with fellow Nets teammates Kyrie Irving and James Harden taking the number 2 and 3 spots in the East backcourt, respectively, there, behind Wizards star Bradley Beal. Yeah, Lee's been working those Twitter votes, apparently. joining KD in the front court, currently, first returns, Giannis and Joel Embiid, with over 1.5 million votes each. A lot of votes here for those three guys in the front court in the East, KD, Giannis, and Embiid. And then, Bradley Beal leading all guards with Kyrie in second. So same question as I asked at the West. Task, get us started. Biggest surprise from seeing all of these numbers here. Where are you going?
It's right there. It's Bradley Beal at the top of the guards list. That's a shocker to me. It's the biggest shocker after looking at these early returns. Other than the fact that we're having an all-star game. That's a shocker. But we'll get to that. A little bit later in Worst of the Week. Bradley Beal, as the most popular guard in the East, is... It just put me off my chair yesterday when I saw it because he's just never all that high. He was 8th last year.
Yep.
He was 7th the year before that. He was 5th the year before that and 10th the year before that. I think the circumstances just played out perfectly for him because... It started when Kyrie Irving, the voting started when Kyrie Irving was just kind of coming back from those couple weeks off. So he dropped a little bit. James Harden spent time in the West. He came over and maybe not looked at it as a starter. So they're pretty close if you look at those numbers. Their vote totals, 1, 2, 3. But they're all behind the top three forwards in the Eastern Conference. So yes, Bradley Beal is number one, but he's less popular than three forwards in the starters in terms of the Eastern Conference voting. So... this is difficult.
Do you have the meat burps right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I'm quite gaseous. It's in line with my thinking though. When I made my selections for All-Star starters, I made them just in terms of the way, in order of my thinking about them. Who am I thinking of as an Eastern Conference All-Star starter? Well, Bradley Beal is my first guard, so that lines up with me and. I think that's what people are doing too when they're looking at their ballots. I guess I'm a fan. I guess I really am not much of an analyst. I'm just a fan. But Bradley Beal at 35 PPG, this could be the time, especially with the way that the voting breaks down, the way the media has to vote and the players have to vote as well. It's going to be hard to knock him out. I think. I think he's looked at by everybody as. Such a great score, and then you have those other scenarios with Kyrie and James Harden. That Kyrie wasn't playing, James Harden coming from the East, or from the West. So I think he's going to get in there. I think he's going to be a starter when all is said and done.
Well, we were debating it last week, right, on the Drop Podcast, Trey. We were talking about, is it Beal or Trae Young, was what we were doing. We all had Jaylen Brown as our starter in the East in the backcourt, and then we were trying to debate who gets it. And we had this discussion. We were like, I said it, right? I was like, who's going to get more votes between these guys? Like, where's the popularity for Beal or Trae Young, who got a ton of votes last year? I mean, Beal has almost a million more votes than Trae Young. That's shocking.
That was the shocking thing to me, seeing the difference in votes between Beal and Trae Young, considering that Trae Young led the East guards in voting last year. Every single result, first, second, third returns, and then obviously the game, the guy led in voting last year. So to see him drop to sixth, I thought was surprising because it's been a little bit of an up and down season, I guess, for Trae Young. He came out of the gate really hot, shooting a bunch of free throws, struggled for a little bit, but he's up to 26 a game, shooting 42% from the field, 36 from three. And obviously the Hawks are better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
So I don't think Trae Young has really gotten worse. He had a couple of off weeks where he wasn't balling to the full potential that he has, but, I thought it would be a lot closer between these two. I mean, I'm not surprised to see guys from bigger markets show up ahead of Trae Young. Like, it's not super surprising to me that Zach LaVine would get more votes just because he's a Chicago guy versus a Hawk. But to see the blowout from Beal to Trae Young is a little bit of a shocker.
So Lee, what's your secret, man? Just really hitting those double vote days on Twitter for
well,
your boy Beal?
I guess there's a bit of a sympathy vote out there for Beal that he's putting up these huge numbers, you know. And but his team is struggling badly, and people are like, well, Beal is, you know, more than just a guy putting up huge numbers on a terrible team. He's a legit star. So, you know, but being in that Washington market, you know, you need all the help you can get because it's an overlooked market. I think that has cost Beal in the past. I think that's why it took him so long to even make the All-Star game, because he was on the periphery, but people just don't see Washington as a big sexy market like a Chicago that seems to always get votes just because it's the Bulls. If this does hold, this will be remarkable for Beal to be the top vote getter for the backcourt. It could swing, and it's possible we could have three Nets starting the All-Star team as well. Mm-hmm. It's possible if Harden.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's actually likely. I think Harden and Kyrie both overtake Beal.
Yeah.
And the next time we do this,
I mean, that could happen. So that would be weird. I mean, the Nets, you know, like their record isn't great. I mean, what are they right now?
People don't care.
I know, but
their favorite players.
Yeah, they're 14-9. Actually, they're better. They felt like they were close to 500, but they've gone on a bit of a win streak here. But James,
now, here's the question: do the coaches pick Beal if he doesn't make it as a starter?
Yes,
and the Wizards are brutal. Let's say continue.
Yes, I think Beal gets in. I think he's in no matter what. Yeah, for sure. But just like with James Harden, for example, you know, his reputation at the early part of the season wasn't good. It hasn't really affected him though, in terms of garnering votes, because since he's been to Brooklyn, he's been very good. He's looked engaged. The teams are winning. He's put up triple doubles. So, you know, any sort of ground that he may have lost, he's made up very, very quickly there. So, you know, because I talked about it last week. I said, you know, I'm not sure they get three players in the All-Star game. I'm not sure they're deserving. But looking at it now, it's like, well, they're definitely going to get one starter for sure. And then the other guy is probably going to get voted in anyway, or chosen by the coaches anyway. Mm-hmm. So they probably will get three, even if their record isn't the best in the East.
Yeah, I think that's right. If Durant somehow maintains his number one status overall here, he would obviously unseat LeBron, who's been the overall vote leader for five consecutive seasons.
Wow.
Which is pretty crazy. 7 years overall, I think, for LeBron, dating back to 2007. Durant's been an All-Star like 10 times, but he's never garnered the most votes. So I think I think it's a little something to watch if you care about that. A little fascinating to me. Wildest omission, though, in the Eastern Conference. Let's go to you, Lee, which, you know, you see the 20 names is what we're given. Who can't you believe is not there?
Well, Chris Middleton has been a two-time All-Star, and he's having a better season this season than he's had those other two seasons. And the Bucks are second in the East. They got off to a pretty hot start. They've cooled down a little bit, but I think that's also reflective of Chris Middleton's game. It's not a sexy game. It's an old-style game. It's a mid-range game that people just overlook. You know, Giannis is the one who gets all the attention in Milwaukee, and rightfully so. Giannis is going to be a starter in this All-Star game. But the fact that Middleton didn't even get more votes than Jeremy Grant, who's been good for the Pistons, but it's on the Pistons and it's Jeremy Grant, is shocking to me. You know, again, you usually guys, you know, we talk about how often they're a season behind, you know, so Middleton could have had a great season 1 year, doesn't get the recognition until the following season. But when you've been a two-time All-Star and you're having a better season than those All-Star seasons, I mean, it's his numbers are close, but I think, to me, this is the best season that he's put together. I'm shocked that he's overlooked to that extent anyway. I mean, Jeremy Grant, like I say, playing well, earning that contract, but it's the Pistons and they stink, and I just can't see how many people are really watching Pistons games and highlights to give Jeremy Grant that bump over someone who's a, you know, he's a all-star player and he's a respected player, even if he doesn't have the most athletic and highlight real plays in Chris Middleton.
Okay. What do you got, Tass? Is there a name that you're a little shocked isn't there?
Well, I was happy to see Jeremy Grant there, though, amongst those top 10, just because he is having a career year. He's having a really good season. But yeah, it definitely plays into the market situation. Yeah, the Bucks just aren't the tops when it comes to headlines and all that. And it goes back to last year. It goes back to the year before that. Yeah, Giannis is voted in the end by people who are, you know, appreciate the game and watch the game. They vote him as MVP. But when it comes to, yeah, headlines week in and week out, they're overlooked. There's no doubt Chris Middleton's overlooked. But I'm happy that I'm happy Jeremy Grant's having a great year in Detroit, and some people are recognizing him for it, and I guess he gets the Detroit bump. I guess where there's a little fatigue is that people will see Giannis, I'm voting for him, might not vote for Chris Middleton, and even with the Nets, you know, I'm voting for Durant, so there's probably less votes for Harden and Kyrie Irving. They might not just want to stack it.
Yeah,
with
I think that happens. Yeah, what about you, Trey? Is there anybody you're shocked on there?
I don't know if I would say shocked, but Tobias Harris not making the voting is a little bit of a surprise. He's having a great season. He's had a bunch of highlights, and the Sixers have been good, but Ben Simmons is 10th in voting amongst guards, so if we're already talking about these guys like Chris Middleton, who has been an all-star, who's playing on alongside Giannis, who probably has a bigger profile than anybody on the Sixers, it's not super surprising that Tobias Harris wouldn't make the list, but I think it kind of ends the dream of him being an all-star. Like, he could definitely make it as a reserve pick by the coaches, but yeah, it doesn't seem like he has a lot of buzz right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm actually shocked like any other forward has a vote. I mean, I guess Tatum is a forward, but like, it should just be the three guys at the top. I mean, everybody should be voting for those three guys, Katie, Embiid, and Giannis. I have that in the wrong order, but you know what I'm talking about there. Like, I mean, those are your three frontcourt starters. It's like a no-brainer. But, you know, some guys are obviously warranting some votes. You got the two Celtics guys. Jaylen Brown is not as high as I think some people maybe thought, Lili. Though we were high on him, of course, thinking he should start, and I think he'll be there ultimately, but you know, not getting a huge, huge amount of votes.
No, I mean, but when you again look who's ahead of him, I think that's probably about fair just because of those other guys that got more attention. And Jaylen Brown, as great as he's been this season, you know, he's not a loud player. You know, he's got some good highlights, some nice dunks and things like that, but he's a quiet, hardworking sort of a guy. And I think that probably is where these other guys stand out a little bit more. Like, Beal's had some great highlights. Kyrie Irving, you know, when he gets going, it's great. And of course, James Harden, you know, he lights up the highlight reels as well. So I'm glad to see Jaylen sort of on that, is the leader of that next level, because I think he's been much better than everyone else below him this season. You know, Zach LaVine, he being in Chicago really helps him. And that's the sort of thing, like with Jeremy Grant. If Jeremy Grant was doing this for the Bulls, I could understand why he would have such a big bump, because Chicago historically just always has guys.
Giant market,
yeah. You know, but Detroit's not quite the same like that. But yeah, Jaylen Brown, I think he's in anyway. I think just because of the season he's had, the coaches will recognize it, that he's taken a huge leap this season. And I had him on the team last season, and it was kind of down to him and Tatum. Well, Tatum is a lock for me, and I think Brown will be too.
Okay, so the All-Star starters here, they're determined again by 50% of the fan vote, and then media vote 25%, and player vote 25%. They're announced on TNT on February 18th. That's right around the corner. That's coming up. The reserves, which are voted on by the coaches, is announced soon after that, February 23rd. So we'll be talking about this as we move forward and we get the returns. You dipped into the fries, eh? The curly fries?
No. I'm using them to get the meat out of my teeth.
Oh, wow.
Because there's a lot of meat. I'm not having fries this morning.
What?
Oh, no breakfast potato, huh?
That's, yeah, nice. No, got to have a code. And it wasn't part of the pick and payoff there. Here and
are you done the sandwich?
Being used, no.
Oh, okay. I thought you
gotta space it out. I know we like a long pods here. I got some time. I'm three quarters through.
Has there been a sort of bigger one season drop off than Pascal in your mind? I mean, wow. I know he hasn't
Raptors
been
even in sight here. Yeah. I mean, you could bring
but
that
Pascal
up.
Started last season.
Great point.
You know,
it's a good point. Hell of a drop off.
Yeah, he's not going to even make the team this season. I mean, he doesn't deserve it, but it's quite the change really for him.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I don't think, like I've said before, I don't think any Raps are going to actually get in there. I don't think Lowry will. I don't think Van Vliet will. Definitely not Siakam the way he's played. You know, I could talk up OG if you want me to. You want to talk some OG here?
What you up to, Isaac? It's been a long time, though, that the Raptors haven't had an all-star, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Lowry and DeRozan, that's a long time ago at this point.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to worst of the week. But before we do, quick word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, let's get to worst of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, the worst of the week.
What do you got, Tassie?
Well, we got to start it off with the NBA. This is absolutely incredible that we're having an All-Star game. It'll be announced next week, all the details and all that, but it's going to happen on March 7th. And when I went to the tweets and asked you people what you think should be worst of the week, we had a lot. We had a lot of people saying it should be the NBA. Vikash Gaya wrote, "Did you do the All-Star game yet? Because it's going to happen. Everybody is going to be up in arms when they realize that there's going to be an All-Star game played, period. And it's already starting. You heard LeBron James last night say he has zero interest, zero energy. He'll be there physically, but he won't be there mentally."
This is bad. I mean, let's not, we're going to make some jokes about it for sure. Of course, that's what we do. But I couldn't believe this. I'll be honest. Like, it's one thing for De'Aaron Fox to say it's, like, stupid. Like, it's like, okay, Fox is, like, on the come up. Yeah, maybe he's in the All-Star conversation. LeBron James literally coming out and saying, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? And I don't want to do it. He called it kind of a slap in the face. This is crazy, Tass. Yeah. Like, are you 100% convinced this game still happens after LeBron says that?
Yes, I'm convinced. Okay. Because I think he's been talked to. I think he's said the Players Association has gone to a bunch of their players and said, hey, this is happening. Because LeBron, it's seeming like he had these comments prepared and that at the end of it, he said, I'll be there physically, but not mentally. So he said he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And same with De'Aaron Fox at the end of the clip. He said, well, I'm going. You know, if I get picked, I'm going because you get fined and you have to go. And the Players Association represents them and they made this deal. LeBron was told before the season that there wasn't going to be an All-Star game. And so I think that's why he kind of calls it a slap in the face because, he had 2 months off and now he's got to go play a meaningless basketball game. Right. No other league is doing this. You know, we can talk about the regular season and starting that up in general and how that's kind of irresponsible. But then you make the argument that, hey, it does put food on people's table. There are a lot of people who are employed around sports leagues, but an All-Star game, that's a whole other level of greed. The first step of starting a regular season and starting an NBA season, I mean, it took a lot of people risking a lot of things to make it happen. But this All-Star thing, it doesn't make any sense. Now, some people will say, hey, they're already playing. Why can't they just go play another game?
Right.
But it's not just the players. It's them coming to a city. They're coming to Atlanta, where we all live, an open city. And you know, as we all do, covering so many All-Star games, there's going to be so many fans in and around these hotels. There's going to be parties after parties after party after party after party. And I'm more concerned with those people. We're more concerned with fans hanging out. And it just...
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. It's irresponsible. It's strictly about money, and obviously starting the NBA was about money, but there's some arguments to be made for that. You know, you didn't do the bubble thing because it didn't make sense financially, and you're trying this out, and they are, I think, rectifying where everything was going wrong in terms of all the Corona protocol and guys contracting the virus, but this is too much. I don't know how you can back this. This is just bad optically for the league.
Yeah, what do you think, Trey, especially after LeBron's comments last night that maybe caught you by surprise, maybe they didn't, but what do you think of the chances of this actually going down?
I think it's definitely going to happen. I remember LeBron said he also didn't want to play games with no fans in the stands, and obviously that has been the case. But yeah, it's going to happen. The money is there, and that's the only reason the league is doing it. Obviously, it's a risk, and it's even a risk, I think, for the league to be bringing all the best players from the best teams in the league and possibly then having to, the next week out, sit all those guys down or perhaps have games postponed because the biggest stars in the league have contact tracing or whatever the case may be in the future. But it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen unless players keep speaking out about it for the next month, in which case Maybe there's some sort of an effect. I don't think that that will be the case, but I don't know. A weird decision, and I'm just looking forward to another All-Star being in a city that we have a connection to and not getting an invite to a celebrity game. I mean, clearly there's not going to be a celebrity game. We would say no to this one, but it's going to be very funny having it here and being like, well, not again.
Yeah. Yeah. What, anything to add here, Lee?
It's all about the bunts.
Bunts? You know,
the bunts, the nice little earner, the Bunsen burner. Oh.
The bunts. The bunts. Oh, definitely thought you meant bunts, like a baseball bunt.
I thought he meant like not buns too, burn. Honey buns. I didn't know where he was going.
I thought you, that's a David Brent classic. I can't believe you didn't.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. What's the bunts?
The bunts.
So, so I mean, it's all about the money.
Of course it is. There's absolutely no other logical reason behind this. Other than there's an extra weekend here to make some money, sell some stuff, and put it on TV. That's all it is. You know, pretending it's got anything to do with entertaining people or anything like that is completely false. It's all about just making as much money. And because of all the lost revenue from the last season and this season, anywhere, anything you can do to generate some more of that revenue back, the league's going to do. That's clearly what it is. And if LeBron comes out and says what he said, there's no way the NBA can say, okay, we won't have it. They can't give LeBron that sort of power, you know, so they have to be the opposite. And like, you know, if the entire Players Association and everyone says, okay, we're not going, we're not playing, then that's a different story.
Right.
But if someone like LeBron, you know, again, he's a powerful person, his voice carries a lot of weight, but if he just says, this sucks, this is stupid, we shouldn't be doing it, the NBA says, okay, we're going to cancel it, that just makes the NBA in itself then look like they're bowing to LeBron's pressure and not everyone else's. But if LeBron calls up everybody and he says, listen, just don't go, abort this thing, we're not going, then there's a conversation to be had. But I don't think we're going to get there because, like we saw to start the season, the players said we didn't want to start before Martin Luther King Day. The NBA said, well, it's going to cost you $500 million, and everyone's like, okay, then we'll play, it's fine, we're safe enough to do it a month earlier.
Okay. So that's obviously a nominee there, Tess. The All-Star Game in general, I guess, for Worst of the Week.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I don't know what you guys are going to be doing that weekend here at Atlanta, but just you know, stay in.
Well, are you kidding me? I'm going to be watching it. I'm not.
Probably live streaming the whole weekend.
This is I mean, look, you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter too say, what are we doing this? What? This is stupid. Well, they're probably the same people watching it. But, you know, if you really want to prove your point, I guess, don't watch it. Don't give them, you know, your money, your eyeballs, your support. But it is crazy. It's a pointless game, and it's like only putting more people at risk. I think that was a good way to look at it, Tass. Like, it's even less so the players is the issue. I mean, hopefully they're following the safety protocols and they're not going out to Magic City here in Atlanta. But it is all the being here in Atlanta, being in Georgia, it's the parties, like you said, it's the fanfare around it. That's where these are super, you know, spreading events is could really hurt people down the line. So that's a concern. So yeah.
And yeah, there's going to be fans in the arena. You know, it's not going to be a full arena, but there will be fans at the bottom. There will be corporate seats sold because that's already happening in Atlanta. We saw the scenario last week with old steroid ass, as LeBron put it, you know, in the front row. There's going to be some fans there. There's going to be seats sold. And yeah, it's not so much concern about the players because they should be responsible, but who knows? It's also their All-Star break. You know, Woj reported last night that during the All-Star break, players will be allowed to travel in the United States and U.S. territories, not abroad, just so they don't have problems coming back. But that leads to other problems. It's who knows what's going to happen in the second half of the season. It's just strange to me. You know, you want to say the science leads and all that. Obviously, the science didn't lead making the decision in December, but this is a whole other level to me. Mm-hmm. And the players are going to play. I think LeBron was consulted. I think LeBron knew the fact that he said, I'm playing. I'm not going to be there mentally, but I'm going to be there physically. And they're doing this. They're taking sort of precautions by saying it's going to be one night. It's not going to be, you know, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. They're going to be in and out. You're not going to have the Rising Stars Challenge. You're not going to have some of the other things like a celebrity game that we won't be in. So, yeah, but still, it's not, those aren't concessions. They should just, what's the point? It's all about the greenbacks or the Bunsen burners, as Lee said.
All about the bunts.
The bunts. Yeah. Do we know what they're doing? They're doing an East versus West game, right? We're just going back to that. Like, it sounds like we're not drafting teams, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's the last report I saw. And then also, like, are we doing the Elam ending again? Are we just playing a shorter game? Like, I guess we don't know the details yet. When is this dunk contest and three-point contest happening? Is one of them before the game, Lee? Is the dunk contest at halftime of the All-Star game?
I would guess. I mean, I know they're saying it's one night, but I'm guessing those are going to be on a separate night. I'm guessing a Friday night.
No.
It's all together on the same day?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it has to be like 3 o'clock in the afternoon then, doesn't it? I mean, because there could be some...
My guess is they do the three-point contest before the game. And why wouldn't you just have the dunk contest at halftime?
I don't know.
Because then the players are there.
I don't know.
Okay, like, it's all about the Bunsen burners.
All right, let's move on. Second nominee. The Minnesota Timberwolves. It's happened so many times during Worst of the Week. And we got so many tweets about it. John Ford writes, you guessed it, it's the Timberwolves. And the tweets, they kept coming. Wolves. Fourth quarter collapse against the Spurs was ridiculous. Yeah. It's true. And another one, as always, it's got to be my Wolves. Yes, Josh. Totally, Josh. I totally believe. But it wasn't all that bad this past week. But it's just their Wolves fans are just in this perpetual state of saddom. I mean, that's the way it's going to be this season. It wasn't that bad because number one pick, Anthony Edwards, did some starting, is looking pretty good getting into the starting lineup. They beat the Cavs, but that blow up 16 Wednesday on the Spurs in the fourth quarter, and they just fell apart. So the Wolves, every week, they're going to be in here every stinking week.
Sending our best to Joe Mandy right now.
At least Timberwolves fans seem to be congenial about it. They're like, as always, it's us. Yes, indeed, we are the worst of the week. We get it. Yeah, a bad one for the Timberwolves. But like you're saying, Tess, Anthony Edwards, at least he looks exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He might be in the dunk contest.
He might be in the dunk contest.
Hey,
who
knows? Throw it out there.
All right, last nominee here is the Raptors' Norman Powell. He missed a dunk versus the Orlando Magic. It was a breakaway dunk. Yep. And he wanted to do a little boating and showing.
Wow. Tie game, too.
Yes. It's a close game, and he's trying to put it away with a dunk, and he misses by a mile. It would have been a nice dunk.
Yeah, it would have been pretty good.
And we missed this on our YouTube whoopsies video that you guys should check out. So I wanted to squeeze it in this week. Some fall through the cracks.
Yeah.
It happens.
There's a lot of whoopsies in the league over a week. You got to let us know if you see a whoopsie. And some of you have been great at it. You know, tweeting at us, letting us know on Instagram. Keep doing that because we're trying to keep up with all these whoopsies and all the bloops and the hoops, man. They can get by you, right, Tess?
Yeah. Can Norm Powell not palm a basketball? Because remember, he had that huge dunk against the Pacers, and even in that one, it's kind of like wobbling in his hand, and he's always trying to come from over top. I guess it's probably just a matter of time before he doinked one off the back there.
Who's got smaller feet, Trey Kirby or Norman Powell?
Guarantee I have smaller feet than Norman Powell. I mean, but I can almost palm a basketball. The hands are... Average,
decent.
Yeah, just average.
We got to measure that. I think you guys are the same size. I mean, he's not. He's an
oversized
player. He could
be my height. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Okay, so those are the noms. Sounds like the All-Star game is probably running away with this week's.
Seems that way. Stream team is agreeing.
Yeah.
It's a little bonkers. I guess we'll all be watching. But is there going to be a fallout? Do fans stop watching basketball because of this decision? I mean, yeah, it's unlikely that would happen, but
people will watch anything just to watch something. So I think it's one of those things. They're just going to go, oh, well, they did it. Let's just watch it anyway. that's what it is. It's just putting that content on, isn't it? It's like get something on the TV, keep people's attention.
I just mean long-term. Does it turn you off? Like you know, the NFL has done some things in the past few years that have turned people off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think
this is that extreme, maybe.
It's disappointing though as basketball fans, for me anyway, totally, to see them go to the extremes of like you're not allowed to hug or you're not allowed to dap up the guy you were just sweating on and breathing on for the last 48 minutes. You're not allowed to, after the game, no handshakes, nothing like that. But we're also going to get everyone together to play a completely meaningless game and have a completely meaningless dunk contest and three-point shootout, because It's just, there's just absolutely no point to doing it. It just seems like it's like, we're desperate for the cash, though. That's why we're doing it. So we're gonna go ahead with it. And then again, we, you know, George Hill was one who spoke out early. Like, you know, when you're traveling around and you're not even allowed to leave your hotel room, you know, but then you're going to put together an event like this in a state that hasn't done a good job. I mean, the entire country hasn't done a good job with the coronavirus, but this has been one of the worst states. And it's like, we're putting it together anyway. It seems like it's like, well, we can sort of take a calculated risk that, you know, maybe a few people will get it, but ultimately the money that we make from it is going to be worth it. That's what it feels like to me.
Mm-hmm. The NFL didn't even do the Pro Bowl. And don't get me wrong, I would have watched them suit up in Hawaii or whatever. No, I wouldn't have.
It was the last time you watched a Pro Bowl.
I don't know.
Have you ever watched the
stopped.
Pro Bowl?
I thought they stopped
definitely
doing
back
it.
In the day. Back in the day, it'd be, like, man, you're seeing Steve Young throwing it out there to Andre Rison. This is ridiculous.
Well, I remember a punter got laid out, right, in the Pro Bowl.
Oh, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, that was a cool clip. I don't know who it was. I have no idea who did the hit, but I just remember
Sean
that.
Taylor, maybe? Sean Taylor maybe blasted a guy? I don't know.
That sounds right. What were you going to say, Lele, about the Pro Bowl?
I thought they stopped doing it, but...
I think they did. I think they stopped going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went to Orlando or something.
In Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Pro Bowl. Okay, great stuff. Good worst of the week. Let's get to tweet of the night, but before we do, gotta pay the bills here, man. What do we got, JD?
Before we do that, it's gonna be weird to be watching the dunk contest in my own house for the first time in, what, like 11 years? Like,
yeah.
Usually I'm by myself, and I've just blown my entire per diem on a steak dinner on room service after editing all day.
Had a bath, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll have a bath and watch a dunk contest. So I can still do that here, I guess. But that's just good to be strange. That's all.
Yeah, this is funny. It's here in Atlanta. Do I get to count that as having gone to the All-Star weekend festivities? Because I'm in the same city? Because I haven't missed an All-Star weekend since 08, I think, is where I go back to. So
I'm counting.
Yeah, I'm counting.
Weren't you in
I'm
Vegas? Weren't you in Vegas? Wasn't Vegas?
No, I didn't go to Vegas. I went to New Orleans the first time they were there.
Oh,
I think it's 08. Someone can fact.
Yeah, well, 07 was Vegas. So,
yeah, okay, it's 08. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, you should keep up with that tradition, JD.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, here, let's be honest. Maybe we have an NBA happy hour All-Star watch party.
Oh, maybe
set some records.
Huh? We'll all get some steaks delivered to our house.
Great idea.
Cut it up and eat. I love
Great
it.
Idea. Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
Or we could eat some magic spoon.
Oh, we could eat some magic spoon. Yeah.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Okay, let's get to tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Before we show the tweet of the night, can we get an Arby's check-in task with your big meaty sandwich? Like, how much we got left here?
I forgot about my meaty sandwich, I gotta be honest.
Oh, wow. Okay, a couple good bites. Well, could you take one good bite for me because it actually has something to do with the tweet of the night here.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Yeah, so here you go. Big old chopper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's got the meats.
I've got the meats.
Meat sweats. Yeah, because tweet of the night, it is from a No Dunks fan letting us know, Jacob. He tweeted in, "Looks like you're not just doing advertising for Arby's. They clearly are doing advertising for No Dunks too, cranking out nonstop classics." And if you're just listening to the podcast, we're showing a photo of an Arby's sign. And underneath that there, it says 5 classics for $10. So yeah,
what
we're
a deal.
Talking Arby's. And Arby's is now talking No Dunks. This is incredible.
This is incredible stuff. When you think classics, the first thing you think is No Dunks. I like that they don't even have to mention us by name for people to know. $10? You're living the life. I mean, come on.
Incredible deal. I mean, like, is what TASS has right now, is that considered a classic? This meat sandwich?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You just got meat on there, right? Just straight beef.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there pickle or onion or anything like that on there?
No. A soft bun and beef.
A soft bun and beef, yeah. Jesse Burchett in the stream team says, "It used to be 5 for $5, shaking my head. That's like exactly right. There was not a lot of fast food in Plano, Illinois. We got an Arby's, and when they would come out with that 5 for $5 deal, me and Clinton Perot were going wild at Arby's.
You could order 5 sandwiches for $5.
Yeah, 5 of those gigantic Tasmella sandwiches for $5.
That's like, I mean, the math doesn't work out, Arby. Like, no wonder they made it 10.
They get you on the fries and the soft drinks.
The margins on the fries are ridiculous.
Exactly.
Can I just jump in and say, this is the worst pick and payoff we've done, right?
Like, absolutely. Yeah. But
like, he's enjoying
it.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about our favorite ones. This is going to go down as he's eating lunch.
I mean, the applesauce.
At 10 a.m. I started at 10.
But at breakfast time, JD.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. You got up at 5. It's lunchtime, basically.
I know. I played it pretty well, I got to be honest. I didn't eat a bite of food until 10 a.m. So it's going down.
You're not like Lee Ellis, who eats a steak dinner before a poutine eating contest back in Toronto.
Well, look, JD, you should be happy. One, we're not going to have to cut this for social.
Oh, great.
You know, we don't got to do more work. You know, true. We don't need to really blast this one. I will say, like, the applesauce on a roast beef we thought might be a little crazier, zanier than it is, but you seem to really just like it. I mean, so maybe that just backfired on us. Now I'm intrigued. I'm putting applesauce on it.
Right. Yeah. Somebody commented, you have applesauce with pork chops. I mean, you know, salty and sweet. So it's not bad. It's a little squirty squirt.
Can you take a little sip like Zoe would from your applesauce? take a swig, bud.
I'll make you a gift there, Skeets. Sure.
Thanks, buddy.
That's not bad at all.
That's good.
No sugar added. Is there stevia in here?
Okay. So that was tweet of the night. Yes. Shout out to Arby's. I don't know why we keep doing free advertising for Arby's, but it's become a bit. It's early here in the month, Trey, and you wanted to bring it back. The 5-Star Friday. So let's do it. Trey, for those new to the game, quickly, what is 5-Star Friday?
5-Star Friday, the first Friday of every month, we'll read 5 of the best 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. The reviews are a great way for you to support the show because, for whatever reason, they help us in the rankings a lot. And when you get up on the top charts, people are going to be checking your podcast. So thank you very much for the reviews. Thanks for helping us with the rankings. For whatever reason, there was some sort of problem with reviews during January. They disappeared for a while. We weren't able to get one in, but it's no big deal. We'll go through them now. Our first 5-star Friday of the season. This one comes to us from another Bucks fan. The title, great podcast. Thanks. This podcast is the best podcast that I've ever listened to. Just a bunch of fun-loving guys with great basketball/life takes. Life takes. You got any hot life takes? These guys are so good at what they do that I had a dream about them where I was talking basketball and hanging out. I've never been so disappointed waking up from a dream as I was waking up from this dream. You just feel like one of the guys hanging out and talking basketball. Would recommend this podcast to anyone. Thanks for what you're doing, guys.
It's a nice, nice review right there. 5 stars from another Bucks fan.
That's right. Okay, what is the full title of this one? Them boys done turned into... the casual use of y'all, the lip-ripping, the year-round gas-powered lawn care. Also, some very solid NBA talk, very solid play leads to the heads-up play, focused on plays that involved no dunks, freaky, the circle of life. I don't know what was going on at the end of this review, but shout out to Bill Chill chipping in with a 5-star right there.
Great.
Year-round gas-powered lawn care. Yeah, we barely got any snow here in Atlanta, so we didn't get any snow blowing going down, unfortunately. Here's an amazing podcast, amazing something from A-Vowels. They've been they're a great group of people. They've been talking about basketball for years, and it shows. What's that mean? Their chemistry and basketball knowledge is the best in the business. They've been talking about basketball for years, and it shows. They got the boomer life takes. All right, I like this one. Cutting Edge. This one is from Turn Up. Love you two guys. Many YouTube podcasts focus on their most popular and successful singles. No, not No Dunks. If you want the deep cuts on YouTube's hidden gems, look no further. No Dunks also avoids the pitfall of getting too bogged down in Bono talk. Occasional digressions into the NBA and cricket provide a refreshing change of pace. Bars coming up right here. I like my podcast the way I like my Irish supergroups. With a little edge.
Oh, God, that's good.
Thank you for that.
Well, speaking of you two there, Lee, on last night's happy hour, you were doing a lot of singing. Do you remember like all the jams you were singing last night? Do you remember like who you did some?
We started with Elvis.
Yeah.
We moved into Michael Hutchence. I think was second there. Then we went on to Billy Joel.
Right.
Eminem. Yeah, Eminem was out there too. I think that's everybody. I think. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, go check it out. The NBA Happy Hour. It's 4 hours and 20 minutes, but...
you'll be able to find the part you're looking for, no problem. Oh, yeah. Should be simple. All right, our last review from Mopar JGR. Best around. It was a night like any other. I woke up around 4 a.m. to take a pee, and I thought, okay, I guess now is my chance to try my mate Lee's recommendation. Hot life takes, pee backwards. As I'm mounting my toilet like Gary about to hop on a mechanical bull, I think about how long I've been listening to these guys. Grantland, wasn't it? Back in the TBJ days, then the starters and a short-lived free agent, and now legitimately their most innovative No Dunks. As I was finishing my business and standing up, I smashed my face off a shell. My wife had recently asked me to hang, knocking it, some random decor, and some rolls of toilet paper everywhere. I now have a black eye. 5 out of 5. I would try it again. Love you guys from Lakin, Illinois. Shout out to you, Mopar.
Wow. Shout out to everybody for the 5-star reviews there. Lee, you got to be careful when you're trying for the first time the Lee pee, I guess, when you mount the toilet backwards. Like
Yeah. I mean, it was an accidental thing that I sort of stumbled upon. But is Lakin anywhere near you, Trey, in Plano there?
Lakin, Illinois. I actually don't know where that is. Let me do a quick little googs. Okay. Little googs here.
You've never injured yourself doing a Lee pee, though?
No, but what I did do the other, I don't know, a couple of nights ago is I went for the pee and I kicked over the toilet hot roll holder stand, which is this metal thing,
and
knocked onto the ground. And, you know, like you've got your wife sleeping and I'm like, oh my God, I've probably just woken her up, you know, for no reason. You never want to wake up your wife just for no reason, you know, especially like 3 in the morning.
There's a life hack for you.
It is. Like, you know, because if you wake them up and they can't get back to sleep and you just, because you were too clumsy in the night taking a pee, just awful.
I'm worried about you, what you're doing in the middle of the night. Technique.
Like, no, because
I feel like you're like that gif going around like from an infomercial where someone's like with the hoses like bobbling them everywhere. That's how I picture you in the middle of the night.
That's what it felt like, but I got there at the end. It's only happened once or twice, but you know, when you, like I say, you when your wife's sleeping, do not wake her up. That's a life hack.
Did you wake up Roxy last night? She's like, were you singing Eminem? Could you keep it down next time?
Fortunately, I didn't. Because I was in the kitchen and I thought, I'll be up until, I don't know, 11 o'clock maybe here. I didn't think we were going too late. So I didn't move to like the basement where it would have been, you know, there was no way she would have heard us. I thought I'll just stay here. But I just kept, you know, another 5 minutes turned into another 10 minutes and then another 20 minutes. And then it was like hour three.
Oh, yeah. You turned off your light to say goodnight and then stuck around for another 90 minutes.
I said, in the dark. I felt like I was at a party and I couldn't leave, even though there was nobody in my house. All I had to do was lower the laptop and I was out, but I couldn't leave. It was a great night. It was a fun night.
It actually
felt like going to a party, like, which is weird. It's something that hasn't happened for so long. And Matt was in great form. He was telling great stories. He was complaining just the right amount. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, all right, here he goes. It was more like, good, Matt.
You missed those complaints.
Oh, of
course.
Of course. Totally. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
go check
it out.
It was fun.
Okay. Great. It was like a party. You're absolutely right. It was we call it a watch party. There's not a lot of watching going on, but man, it's a party.
Yeah.
It's a good hang. And thanks to everybody that joined us last night or everybody that's watched it later. That really blows my mind. Okay. Let's start wrapping this up here. Pick'em results from last night. A lot of blowouts there last night. We actually picked a good night just to hang and make some eggs together. Because there was just not great, great games. Tass did an awesome job on what you need to know on this morning's podcast, though, so go listen and watch that. The game was the Rockets-Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies were favorites at home. 1.5, small line. Lee, I told you, man, you swerved? The swerve is perfect in the month of February. And what does the swerve mean? It means when just one guy goes with one team and everybody else backs the other team. It's perfect. It's worked every time, and you had the Rockets. You got the W. That's your first victory. You're 1-3. Tass is 1-3. He had the Grizzlies loss. I had the Grizzlies. I'm 2-2. And Trey, my man, still looking for his first win here.
You got to let me pick last. I got to get the chance to swerve here.
Okay. Okay, that's
fine.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing. I actually think I picked first yesterday, so it wasn't technically a swerve. It was...
It's a good
pre-swerve.
Gentleman swerve.
A gentleman swerve. That's a good way to put it. So, Tass, obviously a lot of games on. Where are we focusing on tonight?
We got a big one on ESPN, the Celtics visiting the Los Angeles Clippers, who are coming home after a long road trip, and the Clippers are favored by 5.5 points. They're coming home after a 6-game trip while Boston is on their long trip out west, the second game, or third game, I think, of their trip, so it's a 5.5-point spread. You know, you're picking the winner, let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Who you got? Not starting with Trey. Lee, go first.
So this line, I looked at that and I thought, that's a little bit juicy, I thought. But I think it's that juicy because Jaylen Brown is questionable. And there's no update on him. So I'm gonna make my bet, assuming Jaylen Brown is out.
Okay.
Kemba's probably back. Marcus Smart is still out. And I'm taking the Clippers at 6 points. I think Jaylen Brown makes that big a difference. If he plays, I would switch back to the Celtics. But you can't do that in this game. You've got to pick what you know at the time. And I'm going to assume that Brown doesn't play. I'm taking the Clippers at 5.5.
Ooh, all right, Skeets.
Wow. Yeah, tough one. I'm going to go to the Celtics. I don't know. I feel like maybe this is a... Maybe it's a swerve. Maybe it's not. We'll find out from you guys in a second. But I think Boston can keep this close. You know, they had a bad loss there the other night against the Kings. And the no Jaylen, that does worry me. That's not good. But
well, he's questionable.
He's questionable. Yeah, he might play. Right. And honestly, more times than not, we've seen this happen. You know, a star player is not playing or whatever, and you think that team's going to get absolutely hammered, and actually the opposite happens a lot of the time. Teams, like, maybe take their foot off the gas. They think it's going to be an easy victory. All these guys that are playing for minutes, they get an opportunity. They're playing a little harder. Maybe the defense there. Anyway, I'll take the Celtics to cover. I still think the Clippers win this game, but give me the 5.5. Is that what I get there, Tassie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take Boston.
It sure happens when stars don't play. That obviously happened.
Yeah.
That happened last night. No Dame and no CJ McCollum. The Blazers win in Philly.
Right, right.
Here's another life hack, but it's a basketball hack. When a team comes back from a long trip, they don't play too well that first game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Boston. I'm going to take Boston on the road here to keep it close at least.
Okay, okay. Trey. So Trey, where are you going?
Two Bostons and a Clipper? I don't know which makes me Trey swervy. Give me the Clippers.
Okay.
Either the swerve works and it is considered a swerve, or I have a perfect 0-5 week. Either way, good stuff.
All right. So, yeah, we're split on this one. Two of us with the Clips, two of us with the Celtics. Shout out to the Beantown boys. Shout out to Isaac and the Clippers fandom. Okay, let's wrap this up with a little rapid-fire fun. JD, you have the honor this week of hitting us with the questions. How about it?
Yeah, so this week we found out that Jared Dudley has written a book about the NBA bubble. To call it a book, though, might be a bit of a stretch. It's 42 pages long. Is that really a book? More of a PDF, we were saying? Maybe a pamphlet? Manifesto? I don't know. But you know what? It's probably exactly the length that Jared needed to tell us about his experience. What's an era or event in your life that you could squeeze or stretch into 42 pages, Skeets?
I won't overthink this. Last night's NBA happy hour. For sure. I think I just stole somebody's answer. Absolutely. Perfect. I mean, it's like, it felt like 42 pages for sure. Whatever the heck that means. It was a lot of fun, though. There's like chapters, too. I mean, we had a Top Shot chapter. We obviously had the Matty O catching up with him chapter. We had the singing chapter. We had the Blair Witch Project chapter. We had the making eggs chapter. I mean, it's like a book. That's my answer. Yeah. Sorry if I stole it there.
Yeah, you got to get in there and tag that thing today.
Oh, God.
I'm kidding.
Timestamp.
Maybe on the weekend.
Don't do it.
Somebody do that for me, man.
Hey,
somebody out there, do me a favor. Talk to me offline here and help me out with those timestamps. Okay, that's my answer, though.
All right, Tassie.
Well, when I broke my leg in 2008, I'd make that 6-month period into a book. I think that there's enough there. First of all, you know, being on the baseball field, lying down with all my buddies looking over me and me looking up at them, and I had one guy telling me to get on my back because he wanted to assess my broken leg. I've got a broken leg. I don't want to lie on my back. But anyway, it went on and on, learning to walk. Again, the fantastic nurses I had, when I took those Percocets in the hospital, I saw the white light, thought I was gone. Going back to talk to those nurses again. Learning to walk, doing this show. It was our first year of video in 2008, hobbling up there in crutches and dancing like Elvis. Elvis coming back here early on in our show way back when. There's just chapter after chapter after chapter here. So, we can pull that off.
I
quit my job at the end of it, too. That's a big part of it. I quit TSN. They paid me for 6 months. Thanks very much. And then I quit before I had to go back.
Ouch.
What an a-hole I am. I can probably get 43 pages out of that, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Lee?
Yeah, well, when I saw this question and I thought, Tass wasn't on the call last night, so I thought he's probably not going to say it. And I thought, I bet Skeets does say it. But then I thought, you know what? Look, Ben Gulliver wrote a book down in the bubble. Jared Dudley wrote a book in the bubble. So why can't I just have the same answer as Skeets? All right. I missed the first hour or so. I can't remember when I joined there. So I'm just going to take the exact same answer from a different angle there, Skeetsy. Well.
Despite you're writing a book right now.
Yeah, I know, but that's not going to be 42 pages. Nah, that's going to be a lot
longer.
Is that
going to be a chapter in your book? The night we did 4.5 hours on a live stream.
I mean, it might be now. It might be, because I don't know if there's ever been a live stream like that long out there before, has there? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think there has.
You
It'll
sure?
think we were setting records last night.
I think we were setting records. I think so. Like, with a live
For
audience
you?
And everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was great.
Perfect. That'll do. Answer.
Oh, okay. Okay. You guys want to go for the record?
Yeah.
Go for the record. The longest live stream is 259 hours, 46 minutes, and 45 seconds.
Holy crap!
Set in December of 2020.
Oh. Wow,
it's there for the taking.
Wow.
Well, I don't think we got to go for that. Though I did say, I think I said it on last night's show. At some point, we got to do a fun, like 24-hour, like charity drive. Live streaming. We got enough bits. We know enough people. We can make enough segments happen.
Oh, sure.
I think it would be it'd be hell by the end of it, but it'd be a fun hell. We would have some fun. So I think we'll think about that later.
Yeah,
on, but.
Let's do it. Okay, yeah. Next one. This one's gonna sting, Lee. A brand new segment debuted this week on NBA TV's Center Court. It featured Grant Hill opening a pack of basketball cards called Ripping Packs. Sounds familiar. And just a day later, good friend of the show, Amir Blumenfeld, took to Instagram Live to open a case of basketball cards, and he just straight up called it Poppin' Packs. That sounds really familiar. But you know what? It happens. Ideas are out there in the ether. Sometimes it's by accident. Sometimes it's on purpose. But whether it's an idea, a heart, or merchandise, tell us about a time you stole something, Skeets.
I've shared this story before. Shout out to my buddy Grish, who I like when I say my buddy Grish, the stream team says our buddy Grish. Grish is everybody's. I stole him when we were younger. Still so weird I did this. His birthday was coming up and I stole him a Kevin Johnson rookie card from a card shop. I didn't do things like that, so it was just a weird, weird thing. I just saw an opening and I was like, you know, it's easy to steal. I guess I'll take it for him. He liked Kevin Johnson and it was a rookie card and here you go.
Wow.
Really strange. I don't feel good about that. Don't do that.
Does he still have it?
I don't know. I don't think so. He should. I mean, everybody keeps telling me we're in a card craze right now. I wonder what Kevin Johnson, though. Yeah, maybe not a card you...
I don't think so. And I think that's why the prices are pretty low.
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Just threw a quick Google. $40 for a rookie card.
Wow. That's higher than I thought it was. Okay, well... Grish, you owe me $40.
Probably higher 10 years ago, I would imagine.
Yeah, yes. Probably was. Okay, so that's my... I mean, I've told that story before. It's a weird thing, but I stole it. That's like one of the only rare... That's one of the only things I've ever stolen in my life. It's strange.
Yeah. Crazy. Tess.
Well, I steal the sayings of our man Mo Verney all the time. Once upon a time, he found out that we talked about him on our show, and he said, "Oh, I didn't know that." So, to so many things, I say, "Oh, I didn't know that." He once went to somewhere where there was a display with grass on it, and he said, "Let's go see some grass." So every time I say the word grass to my daughter, "Let's go play on the grass," and now she says it too. She loves it. Once he was at Canadian's actor Russell Peters' house, and he saw a model of Kiss, like a wax figures of Kiss, and he said, "Whoa, Russell Peters really loves Kiss." So, you know, I gotta mix that in. Russell Peters really loved kids. I don't know, I just say a lot of his sayings. He doesn't know that, but I say a lot of his sayings.
Do you ever use this one?
"It's gonna be a long night. I'm gonna stock up on energy."
Of course. Classic. Yeah, you guys did that last night.
We say that all the time. Somebody is stocking up on energy.
Anytime you need energy.
100%. I always just say the way he said "wow" that time when he sees like a pig roast or something. He arrived at a patio, turned around the corner, and it was just like, "Wow!" Classic. Lily.
Wow!
Oh, this one feels a little dirty. It's probably going to surprise a few people out there when I confess to it. But what the hell? Let's do it, eh? Why not? So I guess it was our last or second last year at NBA crazy, TV. Man. And they started running a nightly segment that sort of highlighted teamwork and ball movement. It wasn't like dunks and alley-oops and things like that. It was just like teamwork. It was a segment that was kind of highlighting and celebrating fundamentals of the game. Mm-hmm. So about 4 years before that, I just had a feeling they were going to come up with a segment like that. So I actually stole this new segment preemptively from them, hoping nobody would notice. And I renamed it. I even got a few T-shirts made up. I got a hat made up of it. And it was just a complete ripoff of this play that was coming 4 years later. So when they actually announced it and they said, you know, "This is our new segment called Heads Up Play of the Night," I thought, "Oh my God, I'm busted. I am so busted. I am screwed." I am absolutely screwed. But nobody said a thing. Nobody even seemed to notice. It was crazy. It was so crazy because I completely ripped this off. I started doing it every night on our show, sticking up my thumbs and everything. You know, in advance of knowing this was coming. And when it happened, I was like, "I'm going to get called in the office for sure here." And I didn't. I just got away with it. It was incredible. It was so incredible.
The original pre-swerve.
It was the pre-swerve.
Lee, Lee coming up with this.
I'm very impressed how you committed to that bit, Lee. That was great. That was really, really good.
Very good.
I'm looking forward to somebody on the desk. Like, I hope it's our buddy Jared Greenberg. Start dropping Mo Verney references during the show.
Wow.
All right, and last one. I apologize for this. I am definitely phoning this last one in.
Okay.
Break out the hummus, Break out the uncooked carrots. The Super Bowl is this weekend. Chiefs versus the Bucks. Who you got in the big game, Skeets?
I like the Chiefs. Give me the over. Skeets. I'm putting money on Brady and Mahomes to both throw over 300 plus yards. Yeah, go get that. Bet MGM. I think it's plus 165. I said in an ad read. Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I like the Chiefs. I'm not cheering for Tom Brady. No thanks.
Yeah. Understandable. Go ahead, Tess.
That's funny. Did you say that in ad read? Because I did as well.
Yeah, I did.
I said the exact same bet. It's going to win for sure.
No, we're going to hit it. Let's go. We're going to be rich.
There you go.
Done. Bet MGM. I'm cheering for Patrick Mahomes, though. That's for sure.
Okay.
I'm cheering for Patrick Mahomes. Let's go Chiefs. Does he play for the Chiefs?
Yeah. I believe so.
Let's go Chiefs.
Lele?
I sort of want Tom Brady to win again just because it's like, I think it sort of exposes Bill Belichick as not being that great a coach.
What a take. What a spicy take from you.
Like, the Patriots, did they even make the playoffs this year? I don't know.
Got them.
Did they? No,
they didn't.
No. And he goes to Tampa Bay, who, as far as I know, were a bit of a sad sack franchise, and they're probably going to win. Are they favorite?
It's a 3-point line on BetMGM right now for the Chiefs.
Oh, I guess.
Really?
Three. Yeah,
okay, close.
In Tampa.
But I don't love Tom Brady. I don't hate him either. So I'm sort of like, it'd be great for him, to go and win that Super Bowl and say, see, it was all him. It wasn't Bill.
Right.
Bill.
Are you excited about the halftime performance, Lee?
Who's performing?
Oh, you don't even know?
No.
I know this. Is it The Weeknd?
That's right.
Oh,
yeah. I guess Lee's not excited. Lee's apparently put $7 million of his own money into the production.
What a cheap organization the NFL is. Pay up, man. They make more money than anybody, and someone's got to pay to perform at the Super Bowl?
Well.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's adding to it. He really wants to put on a show.
Well, he should just bill them. Say, I need this. This is what it cost. This is what it cost me. Give me the $7 million.
What is he spending the $7 million on?
What a cheating organization.
I don't even know if that's true. I think I saw it on Instagram.
I definitely heard that, and I was just like, what are you doing, Weekend? What are you doing, man?
What are you doing? He's trying to entertain you is what he's trying
Surely,
to do.
Surely, though, like when they say, listen, we want you to perform, he's like, all right, this is what it's going to cost. And they just said, no, you only get like a budget of this much. And he's like, well, I'm going to do it anyway because I want to put on a good show.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's what you want from your performer. He should just send them the bill and say, you're going to have to pay for it anyway, because this is it. This is what it got. I mean...
All right, I like it.
Like J-Lo and Shakira last year was incredible. Incredible show. That was last year, wasn't it?
No clue, but...
I'm pretty sure it was last year.
Seems legit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Incredible, you loved it.
Yeah. I think they probably cheaped out on them, too. Sounds like it.
Yeah, but what about the exposure? You're getting a lot of exposure.
No. This is the NFL's chance to try to build bridges themselves. Not the most reputable organization. So pay up. They've got the money. Jesus, that's awful.
That's awful. A lot. $7 million, a lot of money.
Yeah. What's he doing? I mean, fireworks, right? Fireworks are expensive.
Not that expensive.
Fireworks are expensive.
Fireworks are very expensive, Genie.
Are they?
Yes. You need zoning rights.
The permits alone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, we'll see. Lee, so are you going to tune in for that at least? Now you got it. What? Come on. I want a breakdown on Monday's podcast. At least your thoughts on the weekend's performance.
I don't know.
Watch it on YouTube.
Okay. I'll watch it on YouTube the day after then, I guess.
I want you to break it down for me. I want please, for me on Monday. It'll be fun. You say the pros and the cons or things you liked or disliked about the...
All right. I'll try to watch it. I'll try.
Thank you.
Okay. No promises, so Skeets. Listen, you just got 4 hours out of me last night doing that.
I didn't ask for 4 hours out of you.
But I gave that to you. I'm like the Weekend.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's call it there. Good luck to everybody in the Super Bowl. Let's hope it's a close game. I'm sure a lot of you joining us here are going to be watching. Why not? What else are you going to be doing on a Sunday? Guys, new No Dunks items available at nodunks.com. Hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, mugs. Got to rep the brand, so go grab something from nodunks.com. Treat yourself to an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks, where you can sign up for just $3.99 a month for the best damn sports writing in the world. thank you for joining us here live today. We got very solid plays slash heads up plays of the day coming up a little bit later. So if make sure you subscribe to us on the No Dunks YouTube channel. Tass, is the sandwich done? Is the Arby's in the gullet?
I got it for you. As soon as we see those Clipper Bros, you'll see some magic on this.
I can't wait. I'm sorry. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Apologies to do this to everyone who is listening, but here's my little, it's an applesauce smiley face. Oh man, I can't hold
it. Saucy bite right there.
There, yeah. Jeez, I can't, I'm not really bad with these web cameras. Anyways, that's an applesauce smiley face. Yep. Last bite of my Arby's beefer. Mmm. That's sweet, very sweet.
Embrace the weekend, people. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.